Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we've got an update on the Tesla Cybertruck, a couple of pieces of news on Tesla in China, a small update on the US EV credit, and a few other items as well. Looking at the stock, starting off the week here with a strong reversal from Friday, big underperformance from Tesla today, down 6.3%, closing at $167.82, while the NASDAQ was up 1.3%. Of course, a lot of people attributing this to various political or geopolitical comments or just general noise from Elon Musk on Twitter over the weekend. Elon was even brought on stage at a Dave Chappelle show this weekend in San Francisco, received a mix of cheers and boos, just a lot of noise around Elon right now. Fair enough, I do think that is a likely contributor. It is probably worth noting that Rivian and Lucid both down 6 and 4.5% today, respectively. Rivian did have a bit of news of their own that we'll talk about that may have caused that. Lucid, not sure, but if you've got Tesla and Rivian both down, maybe that drags Lucid down as well. So I'm hesitant to point to that and say, oh, look, it's just EV stocks that are down today. But it is interesting to see, and we did actually get a little bit of news on the EV sector in general in the US because of that EV tax credit update that we'll talk about here in a second. So I do kind of wonder if that or leaks around that may be having an influence as well. All right, before we get into the news, let's take a quick look at the calendar. We're starting off with volatility here on Monday, and this could continue to be a very volatile week. Tomorrow morning, we do have the CPI Consumer Price Index report. Expectations are for that to be up 7.3% year over year, or for core CPI to be up 30 basis points month over month. That will then set the expectations for Wednesday when we have the next FOMC meeting and press release, interest rate decision, and of course, Fed Chairman Powell speaking afterwards. So at this point, the CME Group FedWatch tool has expectations at 75% for a 50 basis point increase and 25% for a 75 basis point increase. I definitely expect 50 basis points, and then I think where the market goes is going to be largely determined on the commentary from the Fed. I personally expect it to be very similar to last time around, focusing on inflation not being over yet, but slowing the pace of increases and ultimately just seeing how high interest rates ultimately need to go and then for how long. We'll probably get a question from somebody about the possibility of 25 basis point increases in January and forward, and the response to that will probably shape a lot of the market reaction. That's my best guess, at least. We'll see on Wednesday. And then from a Tesla news perspective, of course, tonight we should get the updated China insurance numbers. Last week that came in at about 11,700. Anything higher than that, I think, is a good number because it shows that that maybe isn't downtrending and has hope of still continuing to increase throughout the rest of the month. Anything lower, and it starts to become a lot more difficult to support a thesis that Tesla is not significantly demand constrained at this point in time in China. So we'll get those tonight and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. All right, moving into the Tesla news, I guess since we're already on Tesla in China, we'll just stick with that for a second here. We do have a report today from Tesmanian. The headline reads, Tesla Giga Shanghai denies rumor of Model Y production halt for last week of December. That headline is a little bit embellished. They go on to write that, quote, on Monday, China's IT house reported, citing a Tesla employee, that Giga Shanghai is not suspending Model Y production from December 25th to January 1st, 2023, as Reuters previously reported. That's not true. Why would we stop production? It's a rumor, said a factory employee, though the name or position was not given, end quote. So this is hardly Giga Shanghai denying this report. This is one factory employee denying this report. I think it goes without saying that that does not eliminate the possibility of a shutdown. Certainly could just be that this employee has yet to be informed of that. None of the reporting on this so far had claimed that this has been widely shared or anything like that. So the expectation from those reports, if they were true, would be that the factory employees themselves would not yet know. So unlike a confirmation that would remove the uncertainty, this does still leave uncertainty if factory employees have not yet been told, but personally, I put very little weight in this report. For what it's worth, I do still expect that shutdown to happen. I do think that even when we factor out that shutdown, we're going to end up seeing a lower rate of production on the Model Y in Shanghai for the rest of December than we did throughout November. That is my best forecast at this point in time. I'm going to be updating my forecast accordingly, and soon enough, we'll know one way or the other. I would love to be wrong on this. The other quick update that we have on China, a report from Reuters today that says that Shanghai will, going forward, deem all areas as not at risk of COVID, which, as we had talked about last week with the new policies, areas that are deemed not high risk have much less stringent testing requirements. So a lot more opening up happening in China. We'll see what the repercussions of that are. Hopefully good for the economy, possibly create some bumps throughout that reopening process. All right, next we've got what seems to be a pretty cool update on the Tesla Cybertruck. This was shared on YouTube by Kim Java, formerly Like Tesla Kim. She shared a photo that she says was sent to her from a source of what seems to be a Cybertruck frame, probably for a prototype vehicle, which from the looks of it appears to have a pretty massive rear casting. Now from the photo, we can't necessarily tell if this is one cast piece, multiple cast pieces. This might not even be a cast piece at all. It might just be a plastic representation of what a cast piece would eventually be. But regardless, it does give us a great look at the vehicle's structure and what eventually Tesla is going to be using that massive 9,000-ton gigapress for. Sandy Monroe of Monroe & Associates did have a nice little live reaction to seeing this photo for the first time on Twitter, and he seemed pretty blown away by it, said, quote, "That's actually more revolutionary than what I thought," end quote. So it is just one photo, but very exciting to see, and hopefully a lot more Cybertruck excitement to come soon. Remember on the Q3 earnings call, they were talking about how they are working on their beta builds for the Cybertruck. Elon was asking when he could pick his up, and they said should be in a few weeks, which would put us right around now. So hopefully something like that pretty soon. All right, as we quickly move towards the end of the year here, we are still awaiting some clarification on some components of the updates to the US EV federal tax credit, particularly as it relates to sourcing qualifications for battery minerals and battery components. The IRS, or Internal Revenue Service, for those maybe not in the United States, the IRS did today post an update on this. However, it's not really the update that we're looking for. Today's update was really walking through a lot of how manufacturers can submit their vehicles for eligibility for this tax credit. The update today, as far as I can tell, and I'm pretty confident about it, doesn't include any additional information on those qualifications. In fact, they say that the issuance of this revenue procedure is not the issuance of the proposed guidance with respect to the critical minerals and battery components requirements, and they say that the Treasury Department and the IRS will explicitly identify when they are issuing proposed guidance on that. So time, obviously, running a little bit thin on that. We do have a report today from Steve Levine, who runs the Electrek, and he says that an announcement does seem to be imminent on this and expects one later this week detailing all of those qualifications. Hopefully we will indeed see that. I just kind of thought it was a little bit interesting given the timing today with EV stocks in the US being down in particular. With the updates on this today, it does kind of make you wonder if some of the other pieces that haven't been shared yet may have leaked out a little bit. I still lean more towards the Elon effect, but at least worth considering. Next, we've got a report from Taiwanese media. This is the Liberty Times Net. I have absolutely no idea on their reputability, so take it for what it's worth, but they are reporting that Tesla has received in excess of 10,000 orders, I believe just on the Model Y, since opening up the Taiwanese design studio. If accurate, I think that would be a great result. As we had talked about before, BMW, Mercedes, they both sell about 10,000 vehicles in Taiwan each year. So that many orders already, even if that is Model Y and Model 3, would be a really strong number. Though you also have to consider that there is likely to be a pretty major degree of pent-up demand that is likely joining that order queue right away. That would be offset to some degree by lower awareness just because of the market not yet being developed by Tesla. Anyway, this report also outlines the possibility of 5,000 Model Ys being delivered in Taiwan in December, which I believe this report is saying would be the best-selling vehicle most likely for the month if that does happen. Now, obviously, if that did happen, it would be the combination of pent-up demand and finally receiving some vehicles, but still would be cool to see. Next, we've got a pretty interesting general update on Norway. Of course, Norway, over the last many years, has done a lot to support EV adoption within the country. For the last few years, plug-ins have made up the majority of new vehicle sales, and that is really starting to add up within the total vehicle fleet on the road. New report out is indicating that electric vehicles now make up 20% of the passenger car fleet in Norway. It's awesome to see that impact and how quickly that is growing. You could argue that that took like 100 years to go from 0 to 10%. That was in March 2020, so less than 3 years to go from 10% to 20%, and they expect that to go from 20% to 30%. That'll happen within the next 2 years. Now, for that kind of change to happen globally, it's a lot more tricky, obviously, on the production end than it is for Norway to just be filled with worldwide production to make that happen, but always exciting to see a glimpse of what other countries and markets are likely to look like in the future as well. All right, last few items here. First, we've got an article from Electrek today discussing virtual power plant projects for Tesla in Texas. You may remember back in October, the October 18th episode to be precise if you want to go back to it, that we had talked about ERCOT and the approval that was granted for a virtual power plant pilot project. This is going to happen in multiple phases over multiple years with multiple participants. So the Electrek article today, I thought, kind of made it sound like this was newly approved or something like that in Texas. That has been the case for a bit, but we do have an update from Arushi Sharma Frank, which I think is basically just saying that they've been working on creating a VPP that's going to fit into this pilot project for the last 45 days, and they have now kind of got that design set. So a lot of work that has been done over the last few weeks by Tesla to make sure that they can participate in this pilot project. Next, we've got an update on Rivian. As I mentioned at the beginning, this may have had an impact on Rivian stock today, but Rivian and Mercedes-Benz announced today that they no longer intend to pursue the memorandum of understanding that they had previously announced back in September to jointly produce electric vans in Europe. Rivian CEO RJ Scaringe said, quote, "As we evaluate growth opportunities, we pursue the best risk-adjusted returns on our capital investments. At this point in time, we believe focusing on our consumer business as well as our existing commercial business represent the most attractive near-term opportunities to maximize value for Rivian," end quote. So pretty significant change over the course of 3 months. Probably also means they weren't really that far down the road in terms of the plans here. I think we've seen a lot of reevaluation from Rivian throughout the course of this year as they try to get their costs under control, figure out their roadmap, and head into a more capital restrictive environment. This would seem to be a result of some of those reevaluations, maybe just tempering down some of their international growth expectations. Finally then, we've also got reporting of some reevaluations happening at Toyota, much needed there in my opinion. Apparently, Toyota is expected to outline adjustments to their EV strategy to key suppliers early next year, as they, according to the article, try to narrow the gap on price and performance with industry leaders Tesla and BYD, two people with knowledge of the work set. Apparently, they are expected to detail their EV plan changes through early 2026, and the changes may include some delays of their EV development programs that originally were planned for that period. The report goes on to say that they are questioning whether they should drop their 3-year-old EV architecture, which was created by modifying a gasoline platform car, in favor of a new platform that would be a dedicated EV platform. Maybe I can be of some help to the Toyota board here. Yes, you should probably do that, just like everyone was telling you to do 3 years ago and even before that. Like, we're sitting here heading into 2023. The Model Y and the Model 3 have already eclipsed your best-selling vehicle sales in California. And we're just 7 years out now from a point in time, 2030, when a lot of countries are putting in a lot of requirements for EVs. And you're sitting here saying, maybe we should make a dedicated EV platform. I don't know. What do you guys think? They should have been doing that right after the Prius, at least a decade later, like Tesla was doing at that time. So it looks like Toyota continues to flounder about with their EV planning. No major surprise there. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 13th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.